Wow, we can go home now.
Woo! Not yet, no, not yet. That's right. I am not like the preacher, and I do have notes, so forgive me if I have to look at my notes, because I get nervous, and then my mind goes blank, you know? The Lord is saying, it's okay, you can have notes, it's okay, you know? Welcome, everybody, welcome. We picked this date, and it just so happened to be what the world calls Valentine's Day. And I like to call it the Day of Love, okay? And I looked up the origin of Valentine's Day. I was very surprised, okay? Back in ancient Rome, they had a mid-February festival they called Lupercalia. And it was very violent. It was very sexual. It was very abusive. And that was their festival, and it went on for a couple days. So down the road, third century, there was this emperor. I know this sounds like a lot of detail, but this emperor named Claudius, they called him Claudius the Cruel, he came up with a decree, and he said he banned all marriages because he thought, you know, young men should be in the service. They should be, fighting for their country. And if they had a wife, they would be distracted. They would not be able to focus on being a soldier. So around that time, there was a priest, Valentine, and he decided that was not a godly decree, and he secretly married couples. He did it in secret. Of course, he was found out, and he was martyred, which is how he became Saint Valentine. He was martyred for love, okay? As I've been putting this together all week, excuse me, because I get overwhelmed, because I want to talk about the love of God, you know, not the love that we get from this world, you know? I mean, we have the Valentines, you know, and the little cards, and you think of, you know, special dinners or candy and flowers and that kind of thing. You see a little Cupid with his arrow. And by the way, that's another interesting visual. He was a symbol of romantic love, and he was derived from mythology as the god of Venus. And he was armed with bows and arrows. And he had two different kinds of arrows. I did not know this when I looked it up. He had two different kinds of arrows. One was golden, and it was for love. And one was made out of lead, and it was for hate. So when he would shoot an arrow, depending on which arrow he shot at you, it would cause you to love or hate. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that how the world is today? And how many of us here, and I know every one of us here, have been shot with leaden arrows in our lives, you know? And only the love of God can extricate those arrows from our heart and bring healing. Okay, and this, you know, the life we live is a battleground for affection. It really is. You know, I was looking up love, you know, you get my concordance out. There's like two whole pages, this little teeny print of scriptures that refer to love. It's amazing. And each one of those referred to something else, like an action of love or a cause for love or, you know, that type of thing. So when we think of love, you know, our image of love has been formed by what we have gone through in our lives, you know, the arrows, the disappointments, the anger, the hurt, the offense, neglect, abuse. It's a big one now. And it's the enemy's design to take something so sacred, you know, and distort its meaning. So, I mean, I am just going to touch a little bit on this today. You will not know the full meaning. I don't think in our imperfection we'll ever know the perfect love of God. But I just want to encourage you today and maybe challenge you. You know, there's different kinds of love. You know, there's Eros, E-R-O-S, and that's a sexual romantic love. There's philia, which is deep friendship. You know, you have a friend that you really love and you're really close to. That's that kind of love. There's storge love, which is a familiar love. So that's the kind of love you have for family, you know, your spouse, your children, your, in my case, my grandchildren, you know, and siblings and that kind of thing. It's a little bit deeper than friendship loves. And then there's agape, and that is unconditional love. Doesn't matter who we are, what we've ever done. There is an unconditional love that God has for each one of us. In our mortal bodies, we have this quest for love. We want to be loved. There's a love hole in us. And, you know, I've heard people, you know, you hear people say there's a God-sized hole in your heart. That's the love of God that has to be filled, you know. In our early days, like when we first, my husband and I first got married, by the grace of God, by the way, we've been married this year, I think, 57 years. 57. I was a baby. I was very young. But it's by the grace of God. And you know, there's a love language we all have. You know, we have these books. You know, Pastor Oz is always giving out books and stuff. And it's about love languages, our five love languages. It's by Gary Chapman, if you're interested in reading it. And these are the five love languages we all have. And I believe we have every one of these love languages that need to be spoken to or acted on. But there's a dominant one usually in our lives. It's words of affirmation. It's quality time. Receiving gifts. When somebody gives you a gift, does that fill your tank? You know, acts of service and physical touch. So how is it, you got to start thinking, how is it that I feel loved by God? You feel loved by God when somebody sits down and spends quality time with you, you know? And honestly, you have to remember, too, this love language, normally, and I would say probably mostly in all of us, is formed. This love language is formed by a lack or a crack in the foundation of our hearts as we have gone through life, as we've got the arrows, you know, shot at us or what have you, you know. So as a young couple, my husband and I, and this has been over the years, I think the most times that we have struggled as a couple is because I'm not loving him the way I should, and he's not loving me the way I think he needs to. See, we get this idea in our head that, okay, my love language is words of affirmation. My husband's a man of few words. He really is. Those of you that know him, he really is, you know. But when he says something, it's something that goes right into the deepest depths of your heart, you know. His love language is acts of service. I'm just not like that, you know. Let's face it, I'd rather go home and put my feet up rather than, and he's out driving people here to appointments or there, you know, he does all this stuff, you know. But see, I got hung up so many times on, he's not loving me. He's not loving me in my love language. Nowhere in Scripture says that somebody has to love you in your love language. Nowhere, you know. And honestly, God has... He has called me to the carpet many times. And I forgot God's mandate to love others the way he loves others. Not the way I think I should be loved. You don't love me in those words, with the words of affirmation, that I'm not going to serve you. Go make your own dinner. No, I'm serious. That's my stinking heart. And I'm telling you, I've had to repent many times. And when you confess and repent, now this is just like a little side note here. When you confess and repent, you will never feel the love of God more. When he comes and he forgives. And he not only forgives, he forgets. And he redeems. And His faithfulness is shown. It's just, I just can't say enough. There's no words that will express that, you know. His word says that we are to love our enemies as well. That is like one of the hardest things for me, you know. You diss me over here, or you'd say this or that, you know. I don't want nothing to do with you. And that doesn't mean you're open to abuse, you know. But you have to remember that God tells us that we have to love our enemies, no matter what. And not only he tells us that, he did it. He did it for us. Because when we were still enemies of God, he went to that cross. We were still enemies of God. And I have scriptures that I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, be kind to them. That's hard for me. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Here's another one in that passage in Luke 6. Further on down, there's a promise, you know. And it says, "What credit is that to you if you love somebody that loves you?" But there's more. There's a promise there that when we give, when we love, no matter what, it's given back to us, you know. Good measure, pressed down, overflowing. 1 John 4, this is one of my favorites. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I was putting this together and I was like, I don't know you, Lord. I need to know you more. I need to know you in that way. You know, there's scriptures about being kindly affectionate to one another, honoring others above yourself. You know, that's another one. This is the word of God in action. You know, words always have to have an action behind them. They should. If you say you love somebody, there has to be an act behind it. Okay? And it's not like a manipulation thing. You love me, I'll love you back, you know. This is a principle command from Jesus that love is the key, and that's the foundation to build. And everything we do should come out of that heart of love. That not just that we love God, but from the love of God that he has put in our hearts. And, you know, we have everything we need in him to fulfill our love language. We have words of affirmation. What do the scriptures say about you? You're daughter of the king. You're his beloved. Quality time. Quality time. He never leaves you or forsakes you. That is quality time. Knowing that he's always with you, you know. Gifts given. He gave us the most awesome gift ever in his son, Jesus, ever. Acts of love. I only have one word for that, and that's the cross. The cross, the cross, the cross. The greatest act of love ever. And even physical touch. You know, when we come together and we love each other in words, even if with just words, we hug people with our words even. You know, if they're words of love. Of course, you know me, I'm a hugger, so I love hugging people. That's another one of my love languages is affection. And he fulfills all of those things, every one of our love languages, because we have them all, you know. And, you know, all the aspects of his love we cannot even contain in a lifetime. It's not a feeling. It's not warm fuzzies and butterflies in the stomach, you know, all that kind of thing. Our foundation is Christ's sacrifice. Here's a couple of confirming words. We all know John 3:16, but I'm going to read 17 too, because people don't always read 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him, through his love, might be saved. You know, you don't have that kind of love. You don't feel that kind of love. You are not condemned. We are on a journey and a process. It's a process trying to grasp and get hold of that in our heads and in our hearts, you know, that love of God. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners. We were his enemies, in fact. You know, you read a lot of times, like in weddings and that kind of thing, they read 1 Corinthians 13 and has all the qualities of love that we need to act on, not just lip service, you know. These are all the qualities that is our beautiful Savior. It says we're patient, we have to be patient and kind. Suffer long. How long did our Savior suffer? Does not envy. He never envied anybody. He could have. He was like, I'm the Son of God, you know. And he didn't. He didn't walk around all puffed up. It's not rude. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked or offended. That's a big one these days, you know. Somebody says something the wrong way or they don't say something. And right away you're like, wonder what's wrong with her. You know, I mean, come on, let's be honest here. Let's be real and transparent. We do it. We all do it, you know. But here's the thing with our God. We rejoice in the truth of who he is. And we can bear all things. We can believe all things. We can hope all things and endure all things because of him. So that is like a mandate for us to really be that kind of love for one another. But it only comes, and I said it before, it only comes from the love of your heart that you know, that you know, that you know that God loves you. He loves you. Loves you. This is one of my favorites, 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. That's an intense passion for one another. And then he quotes Proverbs 10:12. Love will cover a multitude of sins. I don't know about you, but the love of Christ has covered a multitude of my sins. You know, and like I said before, I never felt his love stronger than when I confess and repent. And he forgives. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Ah. So, you know what? And this came to me too. This is kind of a strange thing, but I like to do things. I'm a doer. I'm an organizer. You know, I'm always busy doing this, that, and the other thing. And sometimes I feel like this little bee buzzing around, worker bee buzzing around, you know, and I'll share the honey of God's love to all of you and, you know, and then go my way. And I realized, I'm the queen bee, and I'm in the center. What am I doing, and why am I doing it, you know? The love of God needs to be so deeply embedded in the core of our very being that even as we do things, and, you know, he's given us all gifts, and we do things, we move in those gifts. It has to come from that foundation of the love of God. And sometimes that's hard. You know, we have to push into the love of God. We have to persevere for that love of God. We have to chase after sometimes the love of God. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get really uncomfortable with that kind of unconditional love because I don't deserve it. But guess what? None of us deserve it. What we deserve is something far worse than that. Can't earn the love of God, that unconditional love. Can't earn it. We can't serve it. I mean, we can't lose it, and we can't buy it with service by doing things, you know? And everything in this world will tell you over and over, the words in your head you hear, you're not worthy of that love, you know? You're unredeemable. You are not, fill in the blank. You're not lovable. You're not forgivable. That's a big lie. Big lie. So to really know how to love as God loves, we have to know how God loves. You know? And he loves perfectly. We could take a lifetime and we'll never fully grasp that perfect love. We'll never be perfect, you know? But we have a God who is. And he loves us perfectly, you know. And, you know, as we pursue his love, he'll reveal his fiery love through the miraculous and the mundane. Look for it. Look for it every single day, in every single moment, you know. Gives you a revelation of his love, even in the little tiny things. Okay, I'm gonna share. I'm a little ahead of myself here, but that's okay. What I mean by that was a couple weeks ago. I was having a difficult week. I made it difficult, you know. And I was feeling really lonely and sad. And I never spoke it. I never said it out loud. I didn't even pray about it. You know, I just push through it and go on. And my phone rang. And it was a friend of mine that I hadn't talked to in a couple years. And she said, "You were on my heart this morning, and I decided just to call you and say I miss you." That was God. That was God in that moment saying, "I see you." He sees every one of you where you're at. And even in the little things, you may be washing dishes, and you'll see something. He will say something. You know, you will feel something from him. Every day, you know. And his love goes beyond human words. It's not a feeling, like I said. It's not emotion. It's love. It's he. He is love, you know. Before he even spoke the world into existence, he knew you. He loved you. Isaiah 43 says, "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, who created you, O Janine, who created you, O Ashley." Put your name in there. Before he created you, he who formed you, O Minister Carolyn, he who formed you, Joyce, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." You are mine. You know? Psalm 139 says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knew us in our mother's womb. He knew us before then even, okay? We are more of value to him than all the sparrows. And he takes care of us, you know? Colossians says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Feel like you're falling apart sometimes? In him, he holds us together, okay? He loved us because he loved us, period. Bottom line, okay? And we aren't unlovable because we're already loved to the fullest by God, already. I was reading this, an article from this theologian, J.I. Packer is his name. And he says, "There is tremendous relief in knowing that his love to me is based at every point on prior knowledge of the worst about me." Think about that. He knows the worst about you, and he still... His love is based on who he is. He loves because he loves. He loves. He knows the worst about us, and yet he loves us. And the bottom line is, in John, we love because he first loved us. Can't do anything without that love. He demonstrates that love in every day if we look and listen to it and listen for it. And he's speaking your love language every day. Every day. Ask the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of your heart so that you can see. I know. I'm wrapping this up now, and I want to end this with some love words from God, from his beautiful love story, his word, in the Song of Solomon. I don't know if any of you have ever... It's a very uncomfortable book because it's very intimate. Very intimate. And if you really want to press into the love of God, you know, study it, look at it, ask the Holy Spirit to open up your heart and reveal those things to you. The words will overshadow and override any of your prior thoughts about what love is. It will also make you uncomfortable, like I said, because it's so intimate. So I just want to close your eyes right now. And this is what, in the Song of Solomon, this is what God speaks over you. He wants to kiss you with the kisses of his mouth. That's intimacy. He says, you're lovely. You are lovely. You are my divine affection. I'm calling you higher. I embrace you in all your weakness. You ravish my heart with one glance of your eyes. You are my holy desire. And I am delighted with your beauty. You are so pleasing to me. I am your bridegroom. And he marks us with the fiery seal of his love. That's what the Lord's calling you to. That's what the Lord wants. That intimacy with him. It's not even a feeling. It's a state of mind and heart and spirit connected to love himself. Amen. That's it. And now God wants to demonstrate that love. Ooh.
And Louise. What a powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for ministering to me. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I gotta change my glasses. Glory to God. I'm not here on my own volition. I'm not here on my own will. But I'm here by the grace of God. I'm his hands extended. I'm his representative in the earth. I'm his mouthpiece. I'm his daughter. I belong to him lock, stock, and barrel. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I am his child. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Before I go into the word that the Lord has given me, I have a testimony about the goodness of God. When Pastor Jan Janine, I'm sorry. Janine. But when Pastor Janine came to me one Sunday in January, and she said, "Would you speak for a women's retreat?" Mind you, I have been on a sabbatical for about 2 years since I've been here. I've been doing a little bit of that and a little bit of this, but I wasn't fully into it. And the minute that Pastor Janine asked me that, and I concur, I agreed, yes, I'll speak, all hell broke loose. I felt like Job. I got sick with the symptoms of flu, upper respiratory problems. And so this was going on in the month of January. So while I'm on my bed of affliction, if you will, or while I'm sick, I got some beautiful daughters, beautiful son-in-laws. I call them sons. So while I'm sick in January, I can't call the dates or whatever, but this is my testimony. On a Friday, my son-in-law called me and said, "Ma, what do you want?" Because my kids know I'm sick. "What do you want, Ma?" I'm telling him what I want. "Bring me juice, bring me water, bring me this." It didn't matter. He was going to bring it. That's the kind of son-in-law that God's blessed me with. That was on a Friday. My eldest daughter, she came before that Friday. She's a case management nurse for Blue Cross Blue Shield. That's my rock. She called me and said, "Mom, you don't sound right. I'm on my way." My daughter came over. She washed the dishes. She prepped some food for me. Because when I made some soup, I laid down. And I tell you, when I got up, there wasn't no juice in the soup. She said, "Mom, stay away from the stove." She'd open up a can of soup, put it in the bowl. She brought some ginger, all chopped it all up so I could put it in my tea. And she's taking care of her mother. And while all this was going on, I had saints calling from the church, Underwood. She gonna check on me. People praying for me on corporate prayer, Wednesday prayer. Every day I'm getting prayed for. This is a praying church. And by the way, this is a good church. I didn't say a perfect church. I said a good church. So if you need a church home, this is a good place to be. Because this is a praying church. And they don't say, "I'll wait." They do it on the spot. Because we are praying church. Back to my children. So my daughter sent me an order, got me, and said, "Ma, you ain't got to do nothing. Go and warm, put your soup in the microwave oven." She don't want me on the stove. Next day, my son-in-law, he brought me what I wanted. Then my middle daughter, she called, said, "Ma, what you want?" I gave her, she said, "Send me a list." I sent her a list text. She had a list. She had to go grocery shopping. So this was Saturday. She brought me everything I wanted. Mind you, in the midnight hours, it gets cold in my house. I got a boiler. So it gets cold in my house. I'm in my room with the door shut, and I got a heater going on. I get up the next morning and I find out that the whole house is cold and my furnace don't work. This was during a time when it was really extremely cold. And I called my son-in-law, the one who brought me all this, what I wanted, because he's a contractor. He said, Mom, gonna send somebody over there and check out your boiler. He sends the man over. He goes down and check out the boiler. I'm praying. He comes up. He said, your boiler needs to be replaced. It has two cracks and it's leaking. So I have shut it down. So anybody on the street who think they're a plumber can't turn it back on. Now, I don't have no heat. It is cold, not only outside, but it's cold in my house. So my daughter, the one who brought me all this food, she brought me some beautiful flowers as well. And her husband, another beautiful son-in-law. He said, Mom, we ain't gonna leave you over there cold. So he said, we're gonna find you a hotel. So they found me a hotel out in Livonia in the Marriott. And I didn't have to pay a dime. I was there for 3 days and 3 nights. And I didn't have to buy nothing to eat because you had free breakfast. And I took stuff back to my room. And then the young man that was there, he gave me stuff. He wrapped stuff up in aluminum foil, and he gave so much aluminum foil, I could wrap my body up in it. Because he said, I don't know how to cut off aluminum foil, so he just wrap up all the stuff. And so he gave me stuff to take back to my room. So my daughter, the one, she and her husband put me up in the hotel. She said, Mom, I'm going to bring you some food back, because she moved in Novi from Lansing. I'm here in Livonia, so they close neck to neck. So she brought me some chili, and she cooked. She brought me some turkey, rice, and gravy. So I didn't have to, I'm telling you, look, I didn't want for nothing. So while I'm there chilling in the hotel room and trying to figure stuff up, because now I need this boiler replaced, and it's an $8,500 boiler, and it's like, where am I going to get $8,500, less long 84 cents? So I'm calling different places, you know, different programs and stuff that can assist me to do this. So I call my pastor. I call Pastor Osminski because I wanted to be accountable of my whereabouts. And he's my covering, if you will. I called, I said, Pastor, my daughter and her son, they put me up in a hotel in Livonia. I won't be in church Sunday. Plus, I still wasn't well. So he said, let me make some phone call, because he began to tell me about Joyce's son, that he had a boiler problem and he only had to pay $400. So in the interim of all this, I hadn't called him yet. My son-in-law, he was on the case. It was unaware, unbeknownst unto me, that when a plumber came out to your house, they would charge you. So I wasn't aware of that, because I'm used to a plumber coming out and not charging a dime. So I learned that they charged my son-in-law $85. He charged my son-in-law $85 to come out and see what's wrong with my boiler. So still I hadn't called the plumber that was referred through Pastor Oz, who cares about the sheep, because he's a shepherd and he picks us up and he carries us and he walks in love. He demonstrates love, because he's gonna come and see about you. And you don't have to be a part of this flock if you tell him he's gonna go and see about the individual. It's a good place to be. That's not my message, but it is a good place to be. So to make a long story short, we got a good pastor. And I thank God that I'm here in this body of Christ. So I finally call Joyce's plumber, if you will, because I've been calling other plumbers and stuff like that. So I finally called him, Joycey. I explained to him my situation. He tells me I can fix it. I got two cracks and a leaky boiler, and was told it's going to cost me $8,500 to replace it. So this gentleman said, we made an appointment, and in fact, he came on the day that it was my time to check out of the hotel. So I checked out, went home, and wait for this plumber to come. He came, he looked at the boiler, went downstairs, and did what he do. And he told me, he said, if I don't fix it, if I can't fix it, it won't cost you a dime. I said, whoa. Could any plumber come out to your house, whether they can fix it or not, it's going to cost you some money. So he goes down the basement, and he's doing whatever he's doing and stuff like that, and it took him about 2 hours. He fixed cracks. He fixed the leak. He said, I'm going to come back and check on it. Sure enough, 7:30 at night, he said, I'm on my way. I'll be there by 8. He gets there, checks the boil out. Everything's still okay. I got heat. He left. 2 a.m. in the morning, it's cold in my house. I text him. I said, it's cold in the house. I just want to let you know. He said, well, do you want me to come out there? I said, no, I don't want you to come out at 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, but I don't want you to be cold. This man is married and got a child. Gets out of his bed, come to my house at 2 a.m. in the morning to make sure I got heat. He said, the water got low because it's a boiler. He fixed it. He said, now there's this valve on top, that this valve on top needs to be replaced. I said, I'll get up in the morning, go to Home Depot, and I'll buy it. When I brought it, I called him, and he came right over. He put it on. And I said, if I owe you anything else, tell your wife to send me another bill. Because he already told me that the bill, everything was $110. That's it, $110. He fixed two cracks and stopped the leak for $110. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. He fixed it. I got heat today. He said, this boiler will last you at least 2 years just by the repairs. And so I had a credit card, and I said, I can only pay you by a credit card. He said, well, I can't use a credit card because it would cost me his company too much. He said, but when you get it, pay me. The favor of God. The love of God. I said, well, next week, you know, my little check come in, right? I said, I'll give you the money next week. Got my little money, went to the bank, got a money order. I never get another bill. Everything did was $110. This man came out to my house 3 times. And charged me no more than $110. I went to the store and got him a thank you card because I am grateful. God sent this man to me. Got him a thank you card, got the money off of $110, and gave him a $25 tip. If I had more, he'd have got more. But he was worth every single penny of it. I'm just telling you about the goodness of the Lord and how much he loves his people. Amen. That's my testimony. Oh, one more thing. While all this was going on, I tell you, I felt like Joe. I had to put my truck in the shop because it was rattling, and I want to know, well, what's wrong with my truck? Took it to the shop. They looked at it, took me to the back so I could see what was going on, what was rattling. They tell me what I got to do. At first, it was $400 and some change. This is all going on at the same time. Call my pastor again. Pastor, this is what's going on. So he told me first $400-something. I said, I got that. Because pastor said, well, do you have it? He asked me, do I have it? I said, well, pastor, you know, I'll use my credit card. So he said, okay. So, but I know if I didn't have a pastor, it would have came out somebody's pocket. Somebody's pocket and gave it to me. So everything is cool. So now the man come, the mechanic, whatever, he come and said, well, come here, I got something to show you. To make a long story short, my bill ended up being $1,225. Because there was other things that had to be done, and I couldn't put it off. I said, well, okay. I didn't have the money. So I had to sit there and take a loan out while I was there. Loan went through. So the work was done. I was there about 5 hours sitting there waiting for my car to be done. But it was done. So, okay, so that was taken care of, you know, that was done. I had to pay this company $1,225. I had to make arrangement. I paid so much every 2 weeks. And so anyway, make long story short, I paid the first $225 this month, left me on $1,000. So my daughter's sister-in-law said to my daughter, they got together because her father turned 90 on February the 9th. So they were all together. So anyway, my daughter's sister-in-law was saying, you know, your mother has been on my heart. Is she okay? So that night, my daughter called me on the 9th. My daughter called me. She said, Ma, you okay? I said, well, you know, I had to put the truck in the car, and it cost $1,225. And I've already paid the $225. She said, well, Mama, don't worry about it. She said, I'm going to talk to my husband, and we're going to pay that bill. Don't worry about it. Just be at peace. Don't worry about it. And so I want you to know, saints, my daughter stopped by my house last night with a check of $1,000. And the repairs on my car is paid. And I don't have to incur the interest on that bill. I'm talking about the goodness of the Lord and the love of God. I hope I didn't take too much time, but that's my testimony. Amen. Eternal God, let your kingdom come, Father. Let your will be done in all of your children, in all of these women that at present today, in no other name but the name of Jesus. My material is coming from Faith of Our Father by Bishop Charles Middleton Sr. He is my former pastor, and he has written many, many books on foundation. My material is coming from the Holy Bible, and it's coming through and by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God today. I love you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I've lost the melody, but it's okay. I'm going to go right into the word. Because Jesus said, I do and I say what my Father say. I have a question to ask all of you ladies here. And Pastor Elder Trevlin, she was all in my message. My question is, how is your love life? How is your love life? Is my question. Elder Louise said, the world loves one way, but God's love is totally different. And since we're in the body of Christ, our love should be different. Glory to God today. The theme of today is the love of Christ. The love of Christ is our theme. And from that theme, my subject is seeing more of Jesus. Seeing more of Jesus. I'm coming from Isaiah 6, 1 through 5, if you have your Bible. Might be on the phone, and you might have a Bible like I have. But I'm coming from the Word of God. And I have the King James translation. And starting with verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twine he covered his face, and with twine he covered his feet, and with twine he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The house was filled with the presence of God. Then said I, Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. For my eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts. It wasn't until King Isaiah Hezekiah, what was his name? King Uzziah died. It wasn't until he died that Isaiah saw the Lord. So what I'm saying today is, what has to die in our lives before we can see Jesus? Is it pride that has to die? Is it jealousy that needs to die? Is it covetousness that needs to die before we can see Jesus? What has to die? Maybe it's self-centeredness has to die. Maybe I think too highly of myself in order for me to see Jesus, so I have to die. My flesh has to die. Carnality has to die. Enmity has to die. What is it in your own individual life that needs to die? Maybe it's Facebook, Twitter, needs to die. Hallelujah. Something's gotta die for us to see Jesus even the more. We see Jesus too little. Oh, glory to God. Today I'm preaching. Hallelujah. We don't see Jesus in his fullness, but we see him as a Savior, but we don't want him as our Lord. Because when he becomes our Lord, he says, I'm in charge. I'm in charge of your finances. I'm in charge of your relationships. I'm in charge of everything that pertains to your life. When he becomes Lord, he get in your business. Glory to God today. Hallelujah. Some things has to die. And it should start right now. In the name of Jesus, if you want to be about your Father's business, it has to stop here. If you want to be his representative in the earth, something has got to die. If you want a testimony, if you want to be a witness for Christ, something has to die. And it's not a one-time death, but it's a dying every day. Glory to God today. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what we ought to do. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If we want to see more of Jesus, stuff got to die, and our minds got to be renewed. Glory to God today. The whole Bible is a love story. From Genesis to Revelation and all this in between, it is a love story. Because you'll find that Jesus is in every book of the Bible. Glory to God today. Christ's love is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Unconditional, forgiving, and powerful. It's big. It's wide. Strong. And it's inconceivable. We can't conceive the kind of love that he's full of. His love is not phony. Hello? His love is not fake. It's not shallow. It's not sometimey. Hallelujah. Or pretentious. Christ's love is sacrificial. Authentic. Trustworthy. You can take it to the bank. Pure. Real. It has not been contaminated. Glory to God today. We can't buy his love. We can't work for his love. And if truth be told, we don't deserve his love. We don't deserve his love. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the personification, the very essence and epitome of God's love. Of God's love. His life was love in action. You can't say you love me and there's no proof that you love me. I love you, Sister Carolyn, but I need a way to church. Well, you got to catch the bus. But you love me, and another. We cannot love each other unless we love Christ first. He got to be the first one we love before we can say, I love so-and-so, so-and-so. Many times we love because what you can do for me. But when you don't do for me no more, I don't love you. That's the world's way, Elder Louise. That's the world's way. That's what the world say. Many times we get a husband about what he can do for us, so we get a husband like that. We don't love him, but what he can do for us. That's not real love. Because when he stopped doing, I'm gone. So that's not real love. See, Jesus is going to love you in spite of yourselves. He's going to love us no matter what. He's going to love us. I don't care what we've done, what we're about to do, what kind of mess we're in. He's going to love us nonetheless. Now that's the kind of love, that's the kind of God he is. Glory to God. How's your love walk? How is your love walk? Jesus stayed true to the course. He didn't deviate to the left or to the right. He said, I came to do my Father's will. I'm sorry. Are we doing the will of the Father? Or are we doing our own thing? And he walked out his will in love. Jesus walked out the will of God in love. In love. Expecting nothing in return. Glory to God. So Jesus, the Messiah, the living God, the living Word, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the light of the world. He's the Son of God. He is God. He's the Son of Man. And the list goes on. Glory to God. He said, me and my Father are one. I do nothing of my own. I came to serve and not to be served. That's what love does. Serving and not to be served. Is it possible to walk in the love of Christ? Is it? Is it possible? Can we? Can we walk in the love of Christ? My sister said, yeah, I agree. Well, how do you know you can walk in the love of Christ? Who told you you can walk in the love of Christ? Who told you? Is there any doubt there? Can I not? My sister said we can walk in the love of Christ. Well, according to John 13, 34, and 35, Jesus commands. He commands us to love one another. Now, that is a command and it's not a suggestion. It's a command. That means that we don't put no question mark there. But you can put an exclamation mark with excitement. Amen. He gave me a command, and so I'm going to walk in love. Amen. He said, as I have loved you, me, so you must love one another. Elder Louis said, we must love our enemy. True statement. Love our enemy, love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And he said, by this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you have love one toward another. How is the world going to know that our love unless, help me, Holy Spirit, how would the world know about our love or know that we are Christ's disciples except our love? Look, we dress like the world. We smell like the world. We look like the world. You put two people together, one say I'm saved, one say they ain't saved. You put them together, and they both look alike. The dress might be up here. Their booze might be down here. Okay? One is a disciple, and one isn't. Amen. But how would you know who is who? Because I look like you. You look like me. The only way you're going to know I'm a disciple is by my love. By my love. Glory to God. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way. The love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. So God has already put the love into our heart, which is shed by the Holy Spirit. So if the love is already there, then we have the ability to love one another. Because God has already equipped us with everything pertaining unto life. We already have it. It's given to us. So yes, we can love. And the reason why we don't love is because it takes our will. It takes our will to love. It takes faith to love. It takes obedience to love. It takes getting out of the way to love. It takes seeing your sister from God's perspective and not my perspective to love. To love. We got to get out the way, saints, because we're becoming stumbling blocks. We're becoming stumbling blocks. We're getting in the way of God, hindering people from coming to Christ. Glory to God. Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving. Forgiving one another. I called my eldest daughter last night. She didn't pick up. Whatever. I called her. And I called her because I've been meditating on this word. I said, how is your love life? I've been meditating on, well, how is my love life? See, I don't know about your love life, but I know about my love life. So I'm saying now, I want to make sure that me and my daughter is in table order. Everything is good with us. There's no offenses there, because we can wound and offend and not know it. And so I want to make sure there's nothing in the way, because I don't want my prayers hindered. Amen? I don't want my blessings hindered, because I need to get stuff right with my daughter, if that's the case. She didn't pick up. So I'm assuming, Lord, everything. But look, I repented anyway, just in case. We want to see more of Jesus. We want to walk more in the love of Christ. Then we got to get things together, get things right with each other. With each other. We got to set things in order. Glory to God. The scripture in 1 John 3:18 said, do not love in word only. It's an action word. What if you was married and your husband say, I love you all day, 24/7, 365, and you see no part of love from your husband or wife? What if your husband was an abuser and he hitting you up one side of your head, down the other side, and say he love you at the same time? What is that? That ain't love. That is not love. That's abuse. It's abuse. Get out of it. Glory to God. Love covers a multitude of sin. It covers a multitude of sins. So that means I see my sister falling short of the glory of God. I see my sister missing the mark. I see my sister missing the bullseye. So instead of me going to my sister and talking with her, I'm on the telephone. I'm on Facebook. I'm texting. What my sister is experiencing, that ought not to be, because love covers a multitude of sin. Our weaknesses are faults. So we go to build her up. We go to stand in the gap. We go to pray for her. Amen. And we don't look down on her, because we all sin and come short of the glory of God. We're not sinless, but we strive to sin less. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus, for his love, for taking all of our sins to the cross. Glory to God. Love was by Christ dwelling in our hearts, we become rooted and grounded in his love. Love was Christ's motivation It should be ours as well in all areas of our lives. Our work and activity is of no value unless rooted in love. So I don't care what we do, it's got to be rooted in love. Without love, we are nothing. Glory to God today. Jesus, I'm coming to a close, y'all. Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's restorative love, giving peace and rest to anyone who turns to him. God is in the business of restoring. He's in the business of healing. He's in the business of delivering. He's in the business of making us whole. This is his business. He's in the business of saving us, not just us, but our loved ones, our family, our enemies. God is in the business of restoring us back to him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So today we're going to experience the sacrament of foot washing. Now let me tell you a little bit about foot washing. In the Old Testament, there was foot washing. And they washed feet out of hospitality. They didn't wash feet because they love you. They didn't wash feet because, what? Somebody help me. Dirt, thank you. Thank you. They were dirty because they were. But this was their custom. It was their tradition that when a guest came to your house, they would show hospitality by washing your feet. But servants wash, slave wash, or the guests wash their own feet. Amen. They wash their own feet. But today we're going to see that Jesus flipped the script. It's no longer just an hospitality event, but it's a sacred act. It's an outward activity, but an inward transformation. Jesus instituted or initiated foot washing. This sacred act is by the grace of God an outward sign of an inward change. See, we have to be changed inside, because what's on the inside is going to come on the outside. It's going to come out. You can't hold it in. At some point, it's coming out. Whether good, bad, evil, in between, it is coming out. Our feet and our heart go together. It goes together. Our feet and heart goes together. Because where we walk indicate where our heart is. Amen. It goes hand in hand. If we're walking in offenses, it's saying where our heart is. If we're walking in unforgiveness, that's where our heart is. If we're walking in our animosity and enmity and hatred and ill will, that's where our heart is. The two go together. If I'm walking in jealousy and covetousness, that's where my heart is. If I'm walking in chaos, that's where my heart is. If I'm walking in doubt and unbelief, that is where my heart is. But if I walk in the love of Christ, that's where my heart is. If I walk in God's love, demonstrate it and show it, that's where my heart is. Be careful how you walk. Be careful where you walk. Amen. Because it's going to indicate where our hearts are. Amen. Glory to God. I'm almost there, children. I called y'all children. I probably could do that because I think I'm probably older than everybody in here. That's why I call y'all my children. Amen. So, it is Jesus' desire, not mine. Jesus' desire that all of his people experience this great occasion. All of us experience this great occasion. Amen. Everybody ain't got pretty feet. I ain't got pretty feet. You know, I got little bunions, little corn, whatever. I like pretty feet, but it wasn't in my jeans. Some folks got flat feet, you know, pigeon toe, whatsoever. But pretty feet wasn't in my jeans. I wish it was, because, you know, some women got the most prettiest feet. Don't get that twisted. You know, we admire each other, and we'll tell them on the spot, you look good, you look pretty, you got pretty feet, but don't get it twisted. Who said that? Don't make it weird. Just accept a compliment. Amen. So anyway, we are going to experience foot washing. Everybody, you don't want to, that's all right, but we're going to experience foot washing, and we believe in God to move as your feet are being washed. Let me finish my message. Let me keep going. My sisters are getting ready. Praise his holy name. Jesus wants to experience this great occasion. So why does he want us to experience this great occasion? It's because it deals effectively with the enmity that often arises between brothers and sisters. Ill will between brothers and sisters. Unforgiveness between sisters. We ain't talking about brothers today. But unforgiveness between sisters. Dislike between sisters. I don't like you just because, you know, you always thank you. You thank you somebody. I don't like you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let me move on because time's, you know, going by. Well, anyway, I'm going to, as we turn to John 13, go to John 13 quickly. Or if not, I'll read it. Don't worry about it. As we turn to John 13, 1 through 5 and then 12 through 17, we're going to witness Christ's love, forgiveness, humility, his servitude in action. These are the same character traits, same attributes that we as the saints of God, the women of God, the body of Christ, ought to be walking in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to read this right quick. My sister's getting things together. It says, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Supper being ended, the devil having put now in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come to God, from to God, and now he's going back to God. He rises up. From supper, laid aside his outer garment, his outer coat, so that he can move, okay? But when they take out the outer garment to do any kind of work, if they're going to do any kind of work, they're going to take off the outer garment. And he took a towel and girded himself. We're talking about Jesus. We're not talking about an ordinary Joe Blow. We're talking about Jesus. The Redeemer of the world. The bright and morning star, the lily of the valley. We're talking about Jesus, who discipled his disciples for 3 years, 3.5 years. Am I right? We got scholars in here. We're talking about Jesus. But look at Jesus. Look at Jesus' love. Look at Jesus' love. Don't let that get over you or by you. Look at the love of Jesus. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. All 12. He didn't leave nobody out. He knew that Judas was going to betray him, but he washed his feet. He knew that Peter would deny him 3 times, not 1 or 2, 3 times, deny him. But he washed his feet. He knew the rest of them would flee. They come back after the resurrection. But he washed their feet. And knowing all of this, he washed their feet. He stooped down. He became a servant. And he washed their feet. They were already clean. We're already clean. Saints, we're already clean. We're redeemed. We're washed. We're forgiven. We've been purged. We're clean already. But our feet needs cleaning. Because we walk in all kind of mess. Our feet need cleaning. Because we walk in chaos. We walk in unforgiveness. We walk in disbelief. We walk in doubt. We walk to the casino. I don't guess y'all walking there, but y'all know what I'm saying. We walk to get scratch off. I tell you, saint, we walking in this world. The Lord said, come out from among them and be ye separate. And I will receive you unto myself, and you will be my son. You will be my daughter. He said, come out. Come out of this world system. Come out of pride, haughtiness, arrogance. Come out. How's your love life? How is your love life? What in our lives has to die before we really see Jesus? What has to die to enable us to walk in the love of God? Something has to die. Sometime is literal because we are taking on idols. An idol could be me. Idol could be you. Idols could be our kids, our husband, our finances, our money, where we live or don't live, our education, our position can become idols. God said, I will have no other God before me because I am a jealous God. He don't play. I'm a jealous God. Unless you put that idol down, I'm going to help you. I don't play because I'm the only God. I'm the only creator. I ain't having no other gods before me. So we got to check ourselves. You see, I'm including myself. We got to check ourselves. My sister over here. She's, oh, okay, so let me wind it up. I think she want me to wind up, I guess. Amen. I guess she want me to wind it up. I've been here so long. I've been under Pastor Osminski so long. And everybody know about Pastor Osminski. So yep. I got his spirit.
Yep.
And I wear it well.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
I got his spirit. Okay, let me wrap this up, y'all. Let me wrap it up. Where am I? Okay. 12 through 17. Let me read this right quick. Y'all go home, put these scriptures down, and go home and read and meditate on them. Somebody said, yep. Okay. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, Do you know what I'm doing? You call me Master Lord. You say, well, because he is Master. He is Lord. He said, if I then, your Master, your Lord, my Master, my Lord, if this is who I am to you, amen. I have washed your feet.
Yep.
I've washed your feet. He talked to his disciple, but he's talking to us today. Mm-hmm. If I can do it, so can you. So we ought to wash one another's feet. He said, now I have given you an example that you should do as I do. Amen. The servant, and we are servant, is no greater than his Lord. We're no greater than Jesus. If our Lord can wash the disciples' feet, and he knew everything about them, you know, what they're getting ready to do. If you knew somebody was gonna kill you, Nikki. Knew that. Nikki, if you knew somebody was going to kill you, betray you, if you knew that, would you wash their feet? You've had that from where somebody want to take your life, right? Right? No. So you've had the experience. Would you wash their feet? You did what? Oh, praise God. We got a testimony in here. She washed her enemy's feet. Glory to God. And that's what God wants us to do. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And he should raise you up in due time. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Glory to God. I think that's all. Let me see.
You're okay.
Oh, she said I'm okay. She's standing by me. Praise yeah. God. I'm going.
You're my partner. I can't go anywhere without
She me. Can't go. We joined at the hips, y'all. I'm black, she white, but we joined at the hips. And what else? As it's, who said that? Jesse, girl, I'm gonna get you up here. So this sacred act shows our love for one another. It's a sacred act. It shows our love for one another. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's gonna remove hatred. It's going to remove hostility or ill will against one another. This is what the sacrament is going to do. Mm-hmm. And it's done in faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So foot washing can wash away pride. It can wash away selfishness, bring about humility. It will reveal our place as a servant, Sometimes we get so high and lifted up, and we want to be the first one at the table. Amen? And it helps create a bond of unity. Mm-hmm. And it prepares us for communion.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So again, before I close, how is your love life? Mm-hmm. I don't mean the love of the world. I mean the love of Christ. How is our love life? Mm-hmm. And what is in our life that needs to die? Mm-hmm. You know better than I know, because I know what needs to die mm-hmm. in me. I know what I need to do for God's love to be manifested in me even the more. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus. So, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. My Lord, my God, our Father. I will deliver our strength. I will keep her, our sustainer. I will heal her. I will restorate her. Father God, do a mighty work in these women.
Yes, Lord.
That are here right now.
Yes, Jesus.
Move on their hearts.
Hallelujah.
God, I ask that you remove the veil and you remove the scales off their eyes. I ask, God, that you would open up their spiritual ears mm-hmm. to be, that they may hear the Spirit of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I ask, God, that you would cleanse us all. I ask, God, that you would remove anything and everything that's not like God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, forgive us now.
Yes, Jesus.
And prepare us for this sacred event, this sacred rite, this sacred ordinance. Yes, prepare Lord. Us now, Lord.
Yes,
prepare
Lord.
Us now, Lord. Mm-hmm. Help every woman right now to search their own heart. For you said if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. Mm-hmm. So God, help us all to judge ourselves, not according to our theology, not according to the world's way, not according to philosophy, but God, help us to judge ourselves according to your truth, mm-hmm. according to your word. Help us to judge ourselves in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So God, move.
Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit,
yes,
move.
Yes, Jesus.
And those who have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, move.
Yes, Lord.
God, I ask that you would give us a fresh anointing.
Yes, Lord.
That I received by Joyce, not Joyce, but Sharon, on Sunday. She said, Father, pour down a fresh anointing.
Yes, Lord.
Refresh us today. Rebuild us, rekindle us, restore us, revive us today. Mm-hmm. And help us to decrease.
Yes, Lord.
That you may increase.
Yes, Jesus.
In no other name.
Yes, Lord.
But the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we declare it to be so.
So be it, Lord.
In Jesus'
name. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are the bread of life. You are the living water. Lord, without you, we have nothing. We are nowhere. But in you, God, we find, Lord, the most sacred, tender, and merciful place in your heart. We ask that you bless this cup and bless this bread, Father. And we ask, Lord, that you would infuse your life in us, Lord God, today in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this concludes our Women's Day. We were going to go into groups, but it's really gotten late in the day, and I think we just enjoyed each other's company at lunch. I want to say thank you for the delicious soups made by Teresa, Andrea, and Janine. Thank you. Thank you to our speakers, Minister Carolyn and Louise, Elder Louise. Thank you so much for enriching our lives with the love of God. So I really pray that as you all leave today, you are changed, that something in you is washed clean, and that what was holding you from God, you release today. And so with that, I'm just going to end in prayer, and then we're going to say goodbye. So, dear Lord, we again thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together. We have learned so much. We have grown so much in one day from connecting with you. Your words were rich, and they pointed to you, Lord, to help us, Lord. You know, when I was sitting there, I was thinking, Lord, what if you didn't exist in this world? Wouldn't it be dark and it would be unbelievable? So, Lord, we're so thankful that you chose all of us and you chose a life of sacrifice to lead us all to you. And, Lord, thank you for coming here. Thank you for your story, Lord. And it's such an amazing story. Rich and powerful men don't have this story. You are so incredible. So thank you for dying on that cross for us to set us all free. Thank you so much, Lord, for leading us to the cross so that we can be like you. So, Lord, bless every single woman in this room. May they go forth, feel anointed, feel inspired, feel motivated to spread your word. So in Jesus' name, I say amen. Amen.